If I haven't met you, my name's Nathan. It's great to have you here with us this morning. When do you think this could have been written? The young people of today think of nothing but themselves. They have no reverence for parents or old age. They are impatient of all restraint. And as for the girls, they are forward, immodest, unladylike in speech, behaviour and dress. When do you think that might have been written? Just yesterday? Well, 700 years ago. What about this one? The children nowadays love luxury. They have bad manners, contempt for authority. They show disrespect for elders and love chatter in place of effort. Children are now tyrants, not the servants of their households. They no longer rise when elders enter the room. They contradict their parents, chatter before company, gobble up dainties at the table, tyrannise their teachers and cross their legs. I think crossing their legs, I don't know what that story is there. But if you thought that the generation gap was a recent phenomena, think again. Friends, you've got to see the Bible addresses very intimate and relevant matters that we face. And last time when we were looking at Ephesians, which was a couple of weeks ago now, the Bible spoke a word of peace into that battle of the sexes. Today it's going to build a bridge across the generation gap. The passage today is first and foremost a word to children. And by children, in our context, that means, this here, I believe it means, right from babies to late teenage that are still at home. Who's in that category here? Okay, one, Leo. Come on, who else in that category? Yes, all right, fantastic. Okay, so we've got a bunch here. I think that as we read this passage, first of all, there are two things that jump out that we may not easily pick up that are surprising. The first thing is this. The first thing that's surprising is that Paul even addresses children at all. He is treating the children of believers not so much as little pagans that need to be converted, but little believers that need to be discipled. That's a really important point that comes out of this passage, I think. It is actually one of the things that is in the background of the reasoning behind infant baptism, in fact, that we treat children, the children of believers, we treat them as believers unless they prove otherwise in their older age. Well, there's one thing that pops out. Paul addresses children. But the second thing that pops out is that in the first century world, children were pretty much despised. Because what children were at that point where we were just waiting for them to grow up and be productive. I mean, at the moment, they just get in the way, you've got to kick them out of the way, you know, that sort of thing. They're not productive. So the first century did not really value children. I think we've gone the whole other end of the spectrum. We've begun to idolise children. Or if you're a movie star, they are an accessory. Look how many kids I've got. And that sort of thing. However, the Lord Jesus, remember the Lord Jesus who said, "Let the little children come to me." That was radical stuff to say. Because the disciples were trying to do the right thing, weren't they? Let's keep the little kids away. And Jesus doesn't just go, no, let them come close. He gets indignant. He is super mad about this. This is not the right thing. Children are to be valued and to be seen as responsible. Well, that's why Paul then will treat them as valuable, responsible members of the congregation who need to understand in the context here what the spirit-filled Christian life looks like. Children, it says, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, what we've got to see here, that this is not the demanding words of the frustrated parent. You should obey me! This rather is the gracious instruction and invitation from a good God who, get this, wants children to live really, really well and live really, really long. That's why he goes on to say, honour your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Well, let's have a think about this. Obey. Children, obey. That's a pretty strong word, isn't it? Obey. Colossians, in the parallel verse in Colossians, it says, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. What we need to see is that these are the words a child at home needs to hear, that the way they live for the Lord Jesus is by obeying their parents. To be a follower of Jesus is shown in obedience to parents. Here is a word to children. This attitude of obedience is in absolute stark contrast to the world where disobedience is not only expected, it's even encouraged. In the Bible, disobedience to parents is actually a mark of a world that is in the rejection of God, in the act of rejecting God. So Romans says, people have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. 2 Timothy, Paul says, mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. And the last days started when Jesus rose from the dead. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to parents. So a child who obeys is sort of being really rebellious to the world's way of going. The child who obeys their parents is going against the flow and lives lives characterised not by disobedience but by obedience. But this obedience, notice that it's that you are to obey in the Lord. And in the Lord doesn't simply mean that this obedience that the child must give is not obedience simply because of the parent's authority, but because this is the pathway of Christian discipleship. So, you know that attitude. Clean your room, please. Clean your room, please. And then the cleaning begins. But there's that sense that, well, I'm cleaning my room on the outside, but on the inside I'm throwing stuff all over the place, that sort of thing. See, this obedience is not I obey if I agree. but it's I obey. And it's not I obey in my timing. It's I obey now. Because obedience to parents for the Christian child comes from a heart that wants to obey the Lord. There is the big difference. And in the Lord will mean also that the parent's authority is not such that the parent is able to say, you must do whatever I say. No. The parents have authority that is given to them, but their authority is for a certain responsibility, and that the authority coordinates with that. Now, that responsibility is what we're going to talk about next week. There is content to that responsibility and that authority. It's not absolute. It's not that you can tell the kids to do anything and they should do it. No, there is a direction in there, but we're going to look at that next week. But Paul goes on to say, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And that idea of it being right is the whole idea that's been coming out over and over in these verses of Ephesians, where it says that sexual immorality is improper for the disciple of Jesus. In chapter 5, again, it says that filthy language is just not fitting for the disciple. And so obedience to parents is proper, is fitting, is right for the child who is a follower of Jesus Christ. This is how children will live the Spirit-filled life. Which is great to hear because, you know, as I was growing up, one of the big controversies in the church was, what does the Spirit-filled life look like? It was a tremendous kerfuffle, if that's a technical term, about this whole thing of the Holy Spirit and his work. And so as I was growing up, you know, people were saying, oh, the Holy Spirit is here because somebody fell over, or somebody laughed uncontrollably, or somebody started to do strange jolts with their body, or even there was one where the person was going, ah, la, 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 and this was the sign of the Holy Spirit at work. Well, isn't it just so wonderful to have here in black and white, and so clear for us to see that the Holy Spirit is at work when a child obeys their parents? There is where the Holy Spirit is working, and it's in black and white right in front of us. And fascinatingly enough, all the other stuff that we're told, or that I was told, was evidence of the Holy Spirit, you can't find it anywhere in the Bible. So it's good for us to read the Bible to see what it is to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and not to make it up. Well, Paul grounds all what he's saying in this instruction. He says there about the fifth commandment, honour your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Now, the interesting thing is, though, that Paul doesn't actually quote the commandment. He actually sort of just generalizes it. He actually leaves some bits out. I don't know if you noticed. He leaves some bits out of it, and then he just sort of generalizes it as well. So what's going on here? I think that what Paul is very wisely doing, and that we need to see clearly, is that what that command meant to the Old Testament people of God, it actually has different application to the New Testament people of God. So to honour our parents is still the shape of what walking in love will look like. But what's left out is this idea of living long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. He changes that. It's not mentioned. See, in the new covenant, there is no longer any special reference given to the geographical borders of the land of Israel. It is changed totally. It has become to the whole world. And he quotes this to show God's great desire is for children to live long and happy lives on the earth. And this is an added incentive to that call. So I feel like maybe Kirsty and I should have talked beforehand, but I suppose I want to put a different perspective. But he's not talking about obey your parents so that you can live long in heaven, but obey your parents so that you can live long on earth. That's what's going on. So you might hear, oh, if I don't get home on time, my dad's going to kill me. It's not that type of living long. I'm not going to live very long if I don't do what my parents say. It's more this. The general rule is that those children who contribute to the wellness of their family by obeying their parents from the heart as an expression of their Christian discipleship will build a strong foundation for them to leap into life from. Does that make sense? That is, I think, what's going on there. Can I say that again? Christian kids who obey their parents will contribute to the wellness of their families and will build a strong foundation for them to leap into life from. That's what's going on there, I think. And the thing is that it's clearly demonstrated in the lives of people. There's exceptions, but generally it is true that the child who obeys parents and there's a good family relationship there, their life is better and longer. I mean, it's just true. You can't deny it. Now, there is exceptions, but it is generally true that that's the case. And isn't it wonderful that God wants our children to live long and happy lives? That's wonderful. And the child needs to listen here, because here is a God who is so good. He wants you to live a long and happy life. He says, so obey your parents from the heart as that expression of discipleship to the Lord Jesus. See, if God had his way, you would be happier. Do you get that? If God had his way, you'd be happier. So much of all of this is just what Paul is saying here, I think, is really straight out of Proverbs. Listen to this, Proverbs 3. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. That sounded like it, didn't it? Another one, listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. For I too was a son to my father, still tender and cherished by my mother. Then he taught me, and he said to me, take hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands and you will live. Listen, my son. Accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. Now, we'll think about the content of that instruction that the father and mother are to give next week. But the word to children today is this. The word of God to children today is this. Obey your parents. This is the work of the Spirit in you. This is what the Christian life looks like. Now, parents, just at the moment, just be careful that you do not take these verses and make a hammer. You know, when you get home today, did you hear the sermon? You know, hammers are not great things in relationships, are they? You should be doing this. It just doesn't work in a relationship. But even though this word is primarily a word to children, those who are still under their parents' roof, If we stand back for a moment, there is actually application here for anyone who's ever had a parent. Who's ever had a parent here? Anyone? Why, has anyone not had a parent? The command to honour does bring with it obligation to give proper respect to parents, and I think this probably includes in-laws as well. Maybe. Remember the Pharisees? Remember the Pharisees in Mark chapter 7? Maybe you'd like to look at that at some stage. They were trying to work out how to get out of obeying their parents or honouring their parents, because they would say, well, I'm going to give some money to the church and I'm going to set that aside. Well, not actually give it to the church. I'm actually going to just set it aside. It's still in my bank account, but I'm going to set that aside as money for the church. And because that money's for the church, I can't help my parents out in their old age and their needs because I'm being so spiritual and giving money to the church. And Jesus says, you're mad. You've worked out a way of religiously getting out of obeying God. That's a scary place to be, isn't it? Because you think you're right. You think God's happy with you, but not at all. Honouring is going to look different as time goes by, as circumstances and relationships change. And some of you have really easy parents to honour. Some of your parents are really, really easy to honour. And I suppose at that moment, can I just ask, are you a parent who is easy to honour? Do you think? Do you make it easy for your children to honour you? That's a good word for us, isn't it? I want to say that there have been some absolutely shining examples, I think, of people who have honoured their parents in this congregation and at 8 o'clock and at Haven. And in a world that wants to get rid of unwanted children, the world also wants to get rid of unwanted elderly parents because they're just a bit of a hassle. You've got to go and see them all the time and work out all this stuff. Well, Christians are different. There's a great contrast here. You know, in 8 o'clock service, there's a couple called Graham and Jeanette Cooper. And, you know, because of where I am, because of who I am, I get to see stuff that not everybody sees. And I saw how Jeanette cared for her mum at the Lakeside Nursing Home right to the very end. That's pretty impressive. The Lathams, Daff and Les Latham, who did the same thing, cared for Les's mum right to the very end, gave themselves. At the moment, you know, the Otleys, Graham and Joan Otley, they were on the front of the paper this week. Graham was getting his Legion of Honour, which is like awesome medal ever. He's getting this medal. And you know, he's also been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, got a few weeks to live. His son has come over from Scotland, just left everything, come over from Scotland and is just working really hard for his family, making sure everything is organised. Now, isn't that a way of honouring? I remember watching Glenn and Roz Mars as they cared for Glenn's mum. I was standing back thinking, wow, what tremendous honour shown. Tremendous honour. Now, there's more examples. I know there's more examples here. And I'm sorry I can't say them all. But I want to say they're happening. And I think that is absolutely incredible. Maybe you are really, really thankful because the parents you had, you could obey, and you are really, really thankful because those parents you can also honour. Well, be thankful. Just be thankful. Say, thanks, God. He gave me great parents and I obeyed them and wow, and I can honour them. And it was easy. that maybe you have some regrets that you did not obey. And maybe it was because your parents were really, really hard to obey and really, really hard to honour. Maybe you have some regrets now that you didn't honour them. You need to remember the Lord Jesus, who honoured his Father right to death, and he honoured his Father to death for your sake so that you could be forgiven and that the cross would take away all your shame. And that you now get to be able to say, I will honour my parents. And maybe it's as honour your parents as long as you live, not as long as they live. So when they die, you don't get to go, oh, got lousy parents. When they were around, they never did this for me. They never did that. Really, as long as you live, as long as we live, we can start to do that today. See, what Ephesians has done and is doing, it's lifting up our heads and it's saying, look at this amazing plan that God has got to bring all things under Jesus' authority. And not only does it tell us the amazing plan, it tells us how to play a part in that amazing plan. Last time it said, wives submit, husbands love, and now it says, children obey and honour. Isn't that great? It tells us how to play a part in the great plan. So will you pray for the children of this church that they will obey, that they will show spirit-filled Christian life, obeying the Lord Jesus and showing that they're doing that by obeying their parents? And will you pray for the families where honouring is made really difficult? And will you pray that we would be a biblically spirit-filled church, not this spirit-filled that people have just made up and are deceived. I'll pray. Loving Father, we thank you, Lord God, for the gospel, that you have rescued us, that you have saved us from going with a world that is in rejection to God. And Lord, it's not only some vague direction you give us, but you give us such specifics, and we pray for children today. We pray, Lord God, for the children of this church, that they would obey their parents out of discipleship to you, Lord God, and the Lord Jesus. We pray, Lord God, that you would help all of us to discern how it is right for us to honour our parents, whether they're living or not. And we ask, Lord God, that you would help us to be radically different people in a world that is living in opposition to God. May we be God's spirit-filled community, Christian disciples. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.